Good morning, this is Brian Trumbore with your Week in Review for Saturday, December 18th. It was a pretty good week. The economic releases were solid as November retail sales up 0.8%, industrial production up 0.4%, and the index of leading economic indicators for the month up 1.1%. All met or exceeded expectations, and the November inflation data was okay. True, the producer price index was up a hot 0.8%, but the core, ex food and energy, was up just 0.3%, while consumer prices rose only 0.1%. Ditto the core rate. So year over year, the CPI is up 1.1%, up 0.8% without the stuff we actually use. And the earnings news, what little there was of it, was generally solid. The Federal Reserve held the line on rates again at its open market committee meeting and said it would keep its plan to buy $600 billion of treasuries through June to, quote, promote a stronger pace of economic recovery and keep prices stable over time, but in the accompanying statement admitted the economic recovery is continuing, though at a rate that has been insufficient to bring down unemployment. Household spending is increasing at a moderate pace, but remains constrained by high unemployment, modest income growth, lower housing wealth, and tight credit. On prices, the Fed added, measures of underlying inflation have continued to trend downward. No one really expects the Fed to raise the funds rate that it controls until 2012 at this point, but why then have interest rates soared since the Fed announced QE2 or a second round of quantitative easing? I thought the Treasury bond purchases would keep rates low, didn't you? But there are two reasons given for the big spike we've seen, and both are right. With the passage of the stimulus bill, we've just added another $800 billion or more to the deficit, meaning even further funding requirements and more paper thrown on the market, while at the same time some of the economic indicators have been pretty darn good, except for the two most important ones, jobs and housing. Thus, the animal spirits have been fueled to a certain extent, and part of the action in the bond pits is simply a move from safer treasuries to potentially better returns in stocks. But while suddenly there's a ton of happy talk about 2011, including from the likes of OneStar PIMCO, we still don't have any kind of all-clear signal, to say the least, from labor or home builders. I'm going to stop this particular discussion here, though, because I want to keep my powder dry for my year-end review on January 1st and my look ahead to 2011 at that time. The next 2 weeks, as much as I can control myself when it comes to an economic outlook, it's just the facts. But for now, I'll throw this out there from a story in Friday's USA Today that touts stocks for 2011. A separate article is titled, What Could Go Wrong to Derail Bullish Predictions? It's worth noting what these particular Wall Street titans like Abby Joseph Cohen and Bob Dahl see as the risks. In full, job recovery stalls out, gas prices spike at the pump, housing hurt by rising rates, negative impact of rising cost pressures, policy pitfalls abroad, growth slowing trade conflict, buying strike by rank and file investors continues, political gridlock sets up camp in Washington, and dollar's continued strength crimps U.S. corporate profits. So that's what everyone saw as the risk. The article has a brief discussion under each point, but for readers of this column, what should stand out after hearing the preceding? Well, what stands out is the absence of anything on the geopolitical front, which, of course, I'll be covering in depth in 2 weeks. Yes, I missed it big this year. That doesn't mean I'll let down my guard in 2011. Meanwhile, in Washington, two good things occurred. The House and Senate passed the tax cut extension, 277 to 148 in the House, 81-19 in the Senate. So good bipartisan support. Yes, it's $858 billion, and that sucks big time, but President Obama deserves credit for shepherding a fair compromise, including the most important item when it comes to juicing the economy, the payroll tax reduction for 2011, as well as incentives for a business to write off 100% of capital investments through December 31st of 2011. So the extension on existing tax rates goes through 2012 and at least keeps renegotiation out of the election cycle. Not that it won't be debated during the presidential campaign. The compromise does, however, advance an idea whose time may finally have come. Tax reform. Gerald Seib, Wall Street Journal, quote, "Actually, this week's tax debate is merely the second big recent event pushing the country closer towards this rendezvous with real tax reform. The first came in the form of the report issued by the Bipartisan Deficit Reduction Commission Mr. Obama created to deal with Washington's tide of red ink. The commission's most important contribution in the long run may not be its myriad suggestions for dealing with the deficits and debts, but its call for a simpler and more efficient tax system. Last week, Mr. Obama threw himself behind the reform idea, at least rhetorically." That was Gerald Seib. "No doubt this will be part of Obama's State of the Union address in January, and this is good." Excuse me, still have this cold. And we're back. "Also, this past week saw the shelving of a $1.1 trillion spending bill to fund the federal government the remaining 9 months of the fiscal year. This would not have been a good thing because of the 6,000 earmarks contained within, many of which were Republican projects that the same senators then voted against. True, the earmarks were small, only $8 billion in this instance, when looking at the size of the overall package, but this is also a topic where Senator John McCain shines. McCain said on the House, or on the Senate floor, "The American people said just 42 days ago, enough. Are we tone deaf? Are we stricken with amnesia?" Enough senators were shamed to force Majority Leader Harry Reid to pull it, and instead Congress will fund the government with another short-term continuing resolution that permits spending at last year's levels. Which means one thing, folks, major fireworks when the new Congress takes their seats in January. And if nothing else, it should be highly entertaining and perhaps infuriating, depending on your political view. Turning to Europe, the European Union approved an amendment to create a new bailout mechanism for countries that are fiscally irresponsible, allowing for a permanent rescue fund in 2013, but did nothing to deal further with the short-term crisis that continues to simmer, threatening to boil over beyond Ireland's current rescue. The EU ignored the calls from the head of the European Central Bank and International Monetary Fund for a more immediate Europe-wide response as the divisions in the Union flared anew. The fiscally responsible versus those who aren't, North versus South. For now, though, the compromise text reads, quote, "The member states whose currency is the euro may establish a stability mechanism to be activated if indispensable to safeguard the stability of the euro area as a whole. The granting of any required financial assistance under the mechanism will be made subject to strict conditionality." The key is the word indispensable. Obviously, details to be worked out as needed, but the bottom line is beginning in 2013, the EU, ECB, and IMF will handle each situation on a case-by-case basis. Until we get there, though, who the heck knows when the next crisis hits in 2011 and 2012. What we do know today is that Ireland, despite its parliament doing what it needed to do in first, passing its austerity plan, and second, voting to accept the EU-IMF bailout package, was downgraded by two ratings agencies, as an Ernst & Young report says unemployment will hit 16% in 2011. And whereas the government is forecasting the economy will grow 1.75% next year, Ernst & Young says it will contract a full 2.3%. That's a huge disparity, and for the sake of the financial markets worldwide, we better hope the Irish government is more on the mark. Not that I in any way believe their forecast. This week we also had turmoil in Spain involving a debt auction that came in 80 basis points higher compared to November 18, while there were riots in Greece over its austerity measures. Turning to China, the government announced it would do all it could to quell inflation, which came in at a 5.1% clip in November, which I believe will be the peak. But for now, the Chinese government will not raise interest rates and instead will continue to hike bank reserve requirements. The Chinese consumer is more concerned about inflation than at any time in the past decade, and the government is petrified that out-of-control cost, particularly for food, will lead to mass unrest. Food inflation in November was at 11.7%, and that's not good. But the reason why the government isn't hiking interest rates is supposedly because it wants to wait for the December data, which is why I think prices have peaked. The government insists it can hold inflation to 4% in 2011, which is above its original target of 3%. On the data front in China, exports in November rose another 34.9%, while foreign direct investment in the month rose a strong 38%. It was a wild week in the bond pits as the 10 and 30-year Treasury hit 3.56% and 4.62% respectively, before backing off to essentially unchanged on the week, 3.33% on the 10-year. As Treasuries rallied big on Friday owing to continuing problems in Europe, particularly Ireland. The Feds nabbed another five in the growing insider trading scandal, accusing one of leaking information about Apple's iPad months before it was launched. And a few other overseas economic tidbits. Industrial production for October in the Eurozone was up only 0.7%, half that projected. That's not good. In the UK, retail sales rose in November, and as an aside, I found it interesting that internet sales here represent 10.5% of the total versus a 7.9% share in 2009. But the unemployment rate in Britain rose to 7.9%, and the housing market is sinking as the banks continue to tighten lending requirements. Foreclosures here are expected to rise in 2011. In Japan, after a stimulus-juiced third quarter, fourth quarter GDP is estimated to have fallen 1.9% on an annualized basis, and manufacturing sentiment fell for the first time since the end of the financial crisis. South Korea's unemployment rate fell to 3.2%. We'd kill for 8% these days. The housing market in the U.S. will not be helped by rising mortgage rates, now 5.09% on a 30-year fixed, according to data tracker HSH Associates. Freddie Mac had a 30-year rising to 4.83%. This rate was just 4.16% on November 11. It's also clear that after a pause due to the foreclosure documentation crisis and a freezing of activity, the pace of foreclosures a la Britain will pick up again early next year. And just this piece from a New York Times story on Bank of America and CEO Brian Moynihan, quote, "The problem facing Bank of America is stunning, both on an economic and on a human scale. Among its 14 million mortgage customers, nearly 1 in 10 is past due. Another 190,000 have not been able to make a payment in at least 2 years, and one-third of the homes facing foreclosure are vacant, making them harder to maintain and sell. And dealing with customer service, many homeowners say, is frequently infuriating. Nor has the company signaled its path out, experts say." Stocks advanced again this week, with the Dow Jones adding 0.7% to close at 11,491, while the S&P 500 tacked on 0.3% and is just shy of its September 2008 level. NASDAQ rose 0.2%. Oracle and Research in Motion, maker of the BlackBerry, beat earnings expectations handily and guided higher, even as the likes of Intel and Cisco Systems have been talking of sluggish demand from consumers and state governments. In the case of Oracle, CEO Larry Ellison continued to slam now hated competitor Hewlett Packard. That's all for this week. I am going to take Christmas off, but I will try and get back to you on Saturday, January 1st, with my thoughts on the year ahead. So Merry Christmas, have a very safe holiday period, and for further information, go to stocksandnews.com and click on Week in Review. Take care.